Today I want to talk to you about something that is very, very, very important. That if we catch a hold of this principle, it is going to unlock blessing within our life. I don't know about you, but life is difficult. Life is hard. Life can be all manner of things. In life, for many of us, I believe in Victory Outreach at least, we are a people that have suffered and tasted disappointment. How many of you have been disappointed in life before? I think we are the group of people that God has raised up to understand what it means that everything that we have tried or touched or tasted or smoked or injected or, you know, watched or, you know, done all of those things, because we're a people that have done most of them things. Can I get an amen? We find out that no matter what it is that we've bought into that is going to make us feel better, look better, do better, it's meaningless. There comes a point in our life when we find out that meaningless, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's meaningless. The stuff that we've chased after, the stuff that we've built our life upon in the world is meaningless. See, you can have the best clothes, you can have the best hair, you can drive the best car, you can have the best job, you can have your trophy wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend, you can do all those things, but at the end of the day, when all is said and done, and you go to bed at night, you're in your room alone, or you're out there on your own somewhere else, it is meaningless. It's disappointing. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Because all of these things are external things that we try to budge into our life, to fit into our life, to fill an internal emptiness, a vacuum, a need. And many times we chase after these things and we end up being disappointed. And I believe that even as Christians, we can be disappointed. How many of you have been disappointed with God? Come on, be honest. You get disappointed with God. You get disappointed with church. Come on, be honest right now. For once in your life, come on, right now, in church, don't put on the, hi, hallelujah, everything's cool face. Put on the honest face right now, because if you're honest today and you catch a hold of this principle today and you get rid of the things that you have been holding on to that shouldn't be there and you grip a hold of the things that should be, your life is about to be changed. There is about to be an appointment with God and with what God has for your life. Today I want to talk to you about the thing that redresses all of those things. It is a key that unlocks blessing within our lives. And it is the key of honor. Now, honor is not a thing that we speak about a lot today. We don't really hear it a lot. We read it in, you know, books or cards, or sometimes you might hear it at a graduation. You might hear it at a funeral or at a wedding. But in real everyday life, you don't often hear the word honor. When was the last time you went up to someone and you said to them, hi, how you doing? I honor you. Come on now. Outside of church. When was the last time you went up to one of your friends and says, man, I honor what you're doing? When was the last time you was walking down the street and you saw a traffic warden and you said, you know what? I honor you. You ain't going to do that, right? Amen. When was the last time you honored a police officer? When was the last time you honored one of your family members? Normally, people get honored when they've become a celebrity. You know, you've won the X Factor. I mean, if you know, there are people that are on that X Factor, man. They get honored for being stupid. They get honored for being foolish. They get honored for being talentless. The world has a twisted view on honor. We honor gangsters. Come on now. The Godfather. Hello, somebody. Right? Snoop. Fiddy. Fiddy. Rappers, we honor people that, you know, talk about slapping their woman and, you know, bashing this and doing this. We honor them, right? Not maybe not you or not I, but people do in the world, right? We have a twisted view. The world has a twisted view of this concept of honor. It speaks about respect a lot. You know, you have young kids on the street, 14 and 15, that will shoot you down in a heartbeat for dissing them. Come on now. And that word diss, obviously, is the word that is shortened for disrespect or dishonor. And we have a twisted view of it. But what does honor mean? And what happens when you grasp this concept and you employ it within your life in the right way, in the way that God intended? I'll tell you right now, before we even start, that when you get a hold of this concept of biblical honor that God has intended for us to have, your life will never ever be the same again. That's big talk, Pastor Paul. Yeah, it is. You know why? Because I'm backed up by a big God and a big word and a big truth. That when you get a hold of this concept of honor, when you understand it and you employ it, watch out! You're going to start getting blessed in ways that you never, ever, ever thought of, believed for, dreamed of, or could ever see happening in your life. Honor. So what does it mean, this word honor? It's a word that God uses a lot. And we're going to look at what it means biblically. But socially, it is a term that describes how people within a society evaluate one another. When you look through sociological books or studies, you will see that this term is used where people evaluate people. What are you worth? That word evaluate, it has the word value in it. And what honor really does is it puts value upon something. Are you following with me so far? In the scriptures, we have the word honor in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word, kavod. Kavod. Everyone say it with me. Kavod. Come on, say it in a Hebrew accent, man. You can do it. Start saying it in a West Indian accent. You can say it in a Scottish accent. That's quite similar to Hebrew because of the. Amen. Kavod. Kavod. Amen. Kavod. Say it with me. One more time. Right. Kavod. In the New Testament, the word is a derivative of the verb timeo. Timeo. Say timeo. All the Ghanaians in here are going, timeo. Praise the Lord. Timeo. So they're the two words. Get them, right? Kavod, Old Testament. New Testament, timeo. All right? You got this? Amen. Hallelujah. Trying to make this very simple. What they mean, the root of this word kavod, it literally means heavy or weighty. Heavy or weighty. And we understand the term to give weight to someone. Someone carries weight. I'm not talking about round the middle. Come on now, on the saddlebags or anything like that. Right? But when you know that someone carries weight, they're weighty, they carry weight. There's someone that is worthy of respect. Someone that should be listened to. You understand where I'm coming from right now? Someone that has weight. Their words carry weight. You know when you're in a room and someone walks in that carries weight? Straight away, you change your attitude, don't you? You could be laughing and carrying on and someone will walk in and... Right? Seen it at school. I take my kids to school every day. I pick them up from school. They run in. They're all mad. They run in. Teacher's standing there. Run in and see the teacher. They're like, right? You can be the biggest gangster in the world. You can get down. You can get in the flesh. You can give it the bowl. You can do the hop. You know what I mean? You can do all that stuff. You can walk about. You can sneer. You can do what you want. You can wear your hood. You can, you know. You can do all that. You see a police car drive by. Hello, somebody. All of a sudden, they ain't waving their gat no more. They ain't, you know what I mean? They ain't doing their thing no more. They're like, whoa. Why? Because they carry weight. Can someone say amen? You know what I'm talking about, right? To honor someone then is to give weight to or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in your life. A person grants honor in the world most frequently on the basis of position or status. You know, imagine the queen walks in. We live in a day and age today where there is a generation of people, especially comedians, that are just ain't got no honor for anyone. Are you with me? They just mock everyone. There's a program, Mock the Week. I used to watch it, but in the end, because I like a little bit of banter, I like a bit of humor. But how many of you know, when they're mocking things for the just sake of mocking things, you feel like giving them a slap. Ain't funny no more. Are you with me? And they're mocking the Queen, and they're mocking this, and they're mocking that, and it is endemic in society. And then we wonder why the society is messed up. Because we honor the wrong type of people, and we dishonor the right type of people. We wonder why society is on its head. Are you with me? There was a thing I saw. It's very funny. It was about America. You know, there's just been a tragic shooting in America. I don't know if you heard, in Connecticut, in a primary school, in an elementary school, 27 deaths. 19 of them were children. And then the rest were teachers. Amen. What a tragedy. And the shooter was 20 years old. What a tragedy. And then there was this thing. It says, the Bible is discouraged in schools in America, but it is encouraged in prisons in America. And this person said, if they flipped the script and encouraged it in schools, you wouldn't have to encourage it as much in prisons. Society is on its head. We dishonor the things that God says to honor, and we honor the things that dishonor God. And we wonder why we're not living the life of fruitfulness and abundance that we should be living. Even Christians can fall into this trap when we don't understand this concept of honor. It's about who do you give value to? Who do you give weight to? A wealthy person walks in. A millionaire comes, you know, pulling in a Bentley, gets out all done up, looking good, you know what I mean? People bow down, they get out of the way. They treat them differently. Why? I always look at people as people. I'll be honest with you. I look at people as people. If I met the Queen, number one, she is a person, but then she is a person that God has placed in that position. I believe that. The government, I believe that. Police, I believe that. We'll look at the scriptures in a minute. But also, she's a person. I am not going to just give her honor based upon the fact that she is rich or she is powerful. Although, we should do that. Okay? She's a person. A rich person is just a person with money. One thing that is the great equalizer amongst all humanity is everyone goes to the toilet. That put things in perspective all day long, man. You know what I mean? They all do. So, literally, hallelujah. Why do we honor people? The Greek word for honor, timē, it means literally a valuing. Kavod means to give weight. Timē means to value. The image is one of something that is valuable, that is precious, that is weighty, such as gold. It carries weight. It has value. It is something that is valuable. Other definitions are appreciation, esteem, favorable regard, respect. The opposite or the antonym is atime, which literally means dishonor. It means, check this out, when you dishonor something, it means that you treat it as common or ordinary, you undervalue or devalue it, and you don't give it any respect. That's dishonor. You treat it as just an ordinary, common thing. Imagine someone gave you a big lump of gold and you just looked at it and just treated it as if they'd given you a lump of coal. And you just, you know, flung it outside your house in your back garden, just stuck it in a cupboard. You wouldn't do that, right? If you did that, you'd think, that's a stupid thing to do. Amen? But sometimes we're like that with the things that God has given us. We treat them as common things. And then we wonder why we're never blessed by them. We're getting somewhere. Honor is not just shown in your words, although we speak with our lips words of honor. It is shown in your actions. It is shown in what you do with your words. Honor is in word, it is in thought, it is in action, but it must originate in the heart. It's got to be a part of you, man. Because if it's not a part of you, then it's fake. God even speaks in his word. He says, these people, speaking to the Jews at the time, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's no good just saying, God, I love you, and then not doing what he says. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You will do what I say. There's no point in us saying, I love the Lord, oh, hallelujah, making a big old show. If you read in the scriptures, don't do this, and you do it. What you're doing is you're dishonoring God, and you're treating his word as something that carries no weight and is valueless. And then you wonder why you never get blessed. Are you with me? So who do you value or respect? What is it that you value or respect? Does it match up with what God says that we should honor? Because the truth is, catch this. Write this down. Catch it. Write it on your eyelids, on your heart. Write it in your book, on your iPad, wherever it is, on your eye patch. That's something that you'll see more often. Understand this truth. The truth is that when you honor the right people in the right way, it releases something of value into your life. Or in other words, you will be blessed by that which you honor. Amen? If you honor the word of God, you're going to receive the blessings from the word of God. So let's have a look at the things that we should honor. First of all, obviously, we should honor God. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. God is worthy of honor because he is the biggest, he is the best. He can do what no one else can do. He's done what no one else can do. Come on now. He is worthy of honor. Can someone say amen? He is the creator. He is the one that created all things. He is worthy of honor. There never has been, nor will there ever be anyone ever anywhere in the world in any position of power or worldly authority that can claim what God can do. Like we were talking about Jesus. Jesus has done what no other man has ever done. Buddha was a good teacher. Muhammad was a charismatic leader. But how many of you know that none of them have done what Jesus has done? Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. No one else has ever done that. No one else can ever claim that. God created all things. No man can create anything. All we can ever do is recreate. Amen? All true believers should honor God. And we're to honor his son, Jesus Christ, for our acknowledgement and confession that he is the one and only God. And that he, Jesus, is the only Savior that mankind has. That's how we honor God. We honor God by believing in him and believing in the one that he sent. We honor him in our hearts. We confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe in our heart that God rose him from the dead. And we are saved because of that honor that we give to our God. Are you following me right now? We honor God by believing he is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do and by living like it. Now get this, we're getting somewhere now. Things are starting to hot up. The truth is though that most people don't honor God enough. Sometimes we'll honor him with our lips but then our life don't match up with what it is that we're saying. Because you believe that God is this but you don't live the way that you say that you believe. And therefore you're not honoring God, so you're not getting blessed by that. There's missing pieces in our lives. Follow with me right now. When we believe that he is who he says he is in his word, and we do it, we obey it, we live according to it, it unlocks blessings beyond our imagination. Anything that you can think of, imagine, anything you've ever heard of, all of a sudden, beyond all of that, there comes into your life blessings that you would never, ever have even contemplated because you've done what God has said. You've honored him. You've honored his word. You've honored who he says he is. Most people don't honor him enough. We know that unbelievers don't. But even believers sometimes don't give him the honor that he deserves. And that's why we are living in a day and age in the church, I believe, that is still waiting for people that are going to honor their God in the way that he has laid out. And then untold blessings are about to be unleashed in people's lives. I'll give you an example. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. You know that believers take for granted the fact that they should be blessed. Sometimes they don't believe they're going to be blessed. How many of you know that not every believer is blessed in the way that God tells them that they're going to be blessed? How many of you have been blessed far beyond anything that you ever thought was possible, right? But yet you know that you're not being blessed enough. You ain't living in the overflow, man. Some of us, we're living in the just enough. How many of you know God is more than enough? Some people are living in the not enough. They're still living in disappointment. Some people are living in the never enough. Some people, right now, you're at the enough's enough. But God is more than enough. Mark's Gospel chapter 6, watch this. Verse 1, it says, Jesus left the part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all his wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. Watch this. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon, and his sisters live right here amongst us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Watch this. Verse 4. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, watch this, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. You know, when I was reading this, you know what captures your attention straight away? Is that in his own hometown, Jesus couldn't do any miracles. Not that he wouldn't do any miracles. You know, he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants within reason. And I say within reason because he can't lie. He can't go against his own word. There are some things that he has limited about his sovereignty through his love. Amen. He can't be evil because he's good. Are you with me? But it doesn't say he wouldn't do any miracles. It says he couldn't. In other words, something was restraining him from blessing the people with what it was that they needed. You know what it was? It tells us right there in verse 4 and verse 5. It says that the people dishonored him. They didn't give him honor. They didn't value him for who he was. They just treated him with dishonor. They treated him as a common, ordinary person. The person that they grew up with, they knew, they lived down the street. Oh, I went to school with his sister. Well, not Jesus of Nazareth. My goodness. We played in the playground with him. I bought one of his tables, you know what I mean, and all that stuff. They dishonored him, and through their unbelief, Jesus couldn't bless them in the way that he wanted to bless them. You know, that's the same for us. That there are times when we dishonor God because we either get familiar with the scriptures, we get familiar with our situation, and we dishonor him because we don't believe. Our unbelief stops us from receiving the blessings that God wants for us to have. Bible speaks about it right here. See, once you know what restrains Jesus from blessing you, you don't fall into that same trap. How many of you have dishonored God through unbelief? Let me see your hands. Be honest right now. You don't believe that he is who he says he is. You don't believe that he can do what he says he's going to do. Come on now, let me see your hands. Hands going up all over the place. We dishonor him through our unbelief. We dishonor Jesus, and these people dishonored Jesus by putting their own thoughts about him above his revelation of himself to them. Sometimes we put our own thoughts from our own experiences, our own opinions above the revelation of Jesus through his word. Watch this. How many of you know that Jesus is the Savior? You believe it. That's why you're saved. Other people believe that he's a little dolly in a manger. Other people believe he's a myth or he's a historical figure. Other people believe that he didn't exist at all. That's why they're not saved. Because they dishonor him. They give him no weight. They give his words no value. They do not respect him. Therefore, they're not blessed with the blessing they could have. You catch this? Why are you saved? Those of you that are saved and born again in this place. Why? Because you gave him weight. You gave him honor. You believed. You received. You accepted his revelation of himself above your own opinion and your own experience. And therefore the blessing of salvation came into your life. But then you come into salvation, those of you that are saved, and you might be bound with some sort of, you know, some sort of addiction or some sort of depression or some sort of oppressive thing in your life, something that's happened in your past. And Jesus tells you that he is the healer and he is the deliverer, but you don't give that word value. So therefore, you stay under that addiction, you stay under that oppression, you stay under that whatever it is in your life. Because why? Because what you're actually doing is you're dishonoring God. Because you're not giving him weight. You're not giving him value. What about him being the provider? You don't believe that God is your source and God is your provider, you are always going to be under a spirit of lack. Why? Because the blessing of provision that he wants to release into your life, you're not accessing it because you're not honoring him through his revelation of himself. You're honoring him based upon your own situation, your own circumstance, your own experience, your own opinion. Come on now. You will only be blessed by that which you honor. These people, they in Nazareth, they didn't get the blessing that other cities got because they dishonored God. They dishonored the Son of God. That's something, church, we need to understand. We need to give weight and value to God. Are you with me? Are you with me? I personally think that's why many of us, we miss out on so many of God's blessings for our lives. Because we don't give God enough weight, man. We don't give his word enough weight. We don't give his revelation enough weight. Come on now. We don't believe it. We don't put it into practice. Our blessings are wrapped up ultimately in how we honor God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Second thing, what does the Bible say that we should honor next? After you've honored God, what should you honor next? Spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders. You know, I've been around churches that are blessed and booming and everyone is blessed and things are going on. Yeah, there's always problems. But more than not, people are getting blessed all the time. You know what? Their leaders are really, really honored. I've been around cultures. Scotland, they don't honor their leaders in the church. Dishonor them completely. That's why it's a completely backslidden nation. In England, white middle class people do not honor spiritual leaders. That's why very few white middle class churches are making an impact in society. West Indians, sometimes they honor them, sometimes not. I'm talking culturally right now. Africans, man, they go overboard. I think, you know, they go a little bit overboard. But rather overboard than not even on board. And the churches where they honor their leaders, man, they're blessed. They're blessed. We were with a couple of pastors yesterday from the biggest church in Manchester. They're friends of ours. They're Africans. And they are honored. They're normal people, man. We get on with them. We laugh. We have fun. We talk. You know, we're peers. We're talking. We're praying together. You know, they was with us for about 2.5 hours yesterday, this couple of pastors. And they had a driver sitting outside waiting all the time. He was driving them. He just sat outside. When it was time to go, the pastor got on the phone and he said, right, start the car up. We're coming out now. And I walked outside our little house, right? And the car pulled up. And they got in, they drove off to their next appointment. You know, their church is blessed. They're blessed. The biggest church in Manchester. Now, sometimes it's a little bit overboard. You know, I'm not into all the prostration stuff. I think that's just cultural and it goes a bit far. What do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes I've seen some of the pastors And people go up to them, they get down on the floor, man. They're like full proskinesis, you know what I mean? They're like, ooh, that's a bit far. But honor. Check it out. Honor. What does the Bible say about it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says this, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. Very simple. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. In other words, give them weight, give them value. Value them. Because whatever blessing God has placed upon them, you will get blessed from that when you honor them. It's very simple. I honor my leaders. We honored those pastors yesterday. We honored them. I honor my leaders. I honor my pastors. I honor my spiritual leaders. Why? Because they've been where I haven't been and they've done what I couldn't do. And they've given me an opportunity to become what it is God wants me to become. That's why I value that, man. Otherwise, you can just try and make it happen yourself and just bumble along and try and do what you can, the best you can, or you can follow in the footsteps, valuing the people that God has placed in front of you. See, the problem is we confuse worship with honor. We think, I can't honor that person because all my honor goes to God. Yeah, it goes to God first. But you're not worshiping people. But honor and worship are different things. Honor gives value. It gives weight. It provides people with authority in your life. That is what honor does. Are you following me right now? And we've mistaken it for worship. Don't worship me, but honor me. Don't worship my wife, honor her. Don't worship Pastor Deji, Pastor Kevin, and the rest of the leaders, but honor them. Why? Because you will be blessed from that blessing. Very, very simple. And it's not worship. Don't ever get into the worship thing, because then that's idolatry. That's putting someone up on the same level as God. That's not right. But honor is a different concept. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. A worker deserves its wages. What happens when we honor our leaders? We get blessed by their gift. I'll tell you this, and then I'm going to move on. I'm not beating this point because it's very difficult for me to speak about this to you because you're my church. But when I go to different churches, right, people get healed, souls get saved, people get delivered, people get changed, people run to the altar crying, they want to know Jesus. You know, things happen, right? Anyone who's ever been with me? People just get blessed, man. Spirit of God just breaks out. Sometimes I come here and I preach here, nothing happens. Why? Why? Because sometimes the pastor is not honored in his own church. And you'll only get my gift if you suck it, man. If you draw it. If you honor it. You'll get it. I'm not talking about you'll take my anointing and you'll become me. No, but you'll be blessed by that which God has blessed me to give to you. Do you understand this principle? Honor. But people straight away, they're like, I'm not doing that. Because you mistake it for worship. It's not the same thing. Amen. Honor. There are places where people can go in Africa. Look, you go to Africa. Right, I'm using Africa again. You go there. All right, India. I went to India. People were getting healed, man. I mean, miraculous healings. Lepers were being healed. I've seen lepers healed. Healed. Deaf people, hearing. Dumb people, speaking. Lame people, walking. Seen it. Seen it. You come to England. We have a miracle where someone has had a stroke and 3 days later he's well. And everyone's like, hey. Oh, good. What time's dinner? Oh, wow. Hey, it's cold in here, isn't it? Because there's no honor. Come on now. We have people getting set free from drug addiction with no withdrawal symptoms in this church consistently. We have people that have been set free from hepatitis where their liver is shot. It is messed up. They go back to the doctor and it is cleaned up. It is healed up. The doctors are like amazed. But us as believers, we don't honor it. My wife, we were in Christie's Hospital on Wednesday. We went in there, sat with a consultant who's a Dutch guy, who's one of the top oncology osteosurgeons, whatever they are, osteo-oncologists in the world. Sitting there saying, Vicky, you are a miracle. Vicky, this is a miracle. Vicky, this is miraculous. Vicky, I know what you believe and I believe different, but it's a miracle. Whatever you believe, he says, it's a miracle. He keeps saying, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. You shouldn't be walking. You shouldn't have function in your leg. I can't believe it when I see you walk in, when I see you go out. In fact, on Wednesday, I nearly slapped him because he said, let me see the scar. He's got the scar out. He's rubbing his fingers on it, saying, man, it's lovely. It's really lovely. This is lovely. I'm like, watch out. It's lovely, but that's not your leg. You might have been the craftsman putting that thing together, but you watch out when you're touching my wife's leg saying it's lovely. Because I know it's a miracle, but you might need one yourself if you carry on. But church, we got to understand the power of the living God, and we got to start honoring him a little bit more. And we got to start honoring the people that labor amongst us, that teach us these principles, that pray these prayers. We need to honor, and then we're going to get blessed. Very simple. Matthew chapter 10 verse 41 reads, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Check that out. See, so what you honor, you're going to receive a reward from it. And then he goes on and says, he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, when you honor that person, you're going to get touched with their blessing. You're going to pick up a little bit. Something's going to overflow into you. You're going to get what it is that they've got. Oh, come on now. I know I'm speaking to a church in Manchester, one of the most unchurched cities in the world, probably, apart from somewhere in Saudi Arabia. Come on now. But how many of you know, not in Victory Outreach. In Victory Outreach, we are a church that honors God, that honors his word, that honors our leaders, and honors many other people as well, but we're getting to that. But we need to get these things in place, because then you will be blessed. What is a prophet's reward? And what exactly will we receive for receiving a prophet in this life? When you look into it and you study into it, it gives you certain clues. Before this scripture in Matthew 10, 40, part of this passage tells of Jesus instructing his disciples. He says this, he says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. So clearly Jesus is explaining to the disciples that those who come on behalf of another honor not only the person they receive, but also the person who sent them. So if a man or a woman of God is up preaching the word of God or is getting ready to minister, you have to understand who sent them, who placed them, who put them in place. And therefore, when you honor them, you're honoring the one who sent them. When you dishonor them, get ready. For nothing. I've been here before, I couldn't believe it. My wife got up to preach. And there were some young men in the congregation, put their fingers in their ears. They're not here no more. Because she's a woman. Whatever. Bible don't say anything about women not preaching. In fact, there are many women in the Bible that were preachers, that were prophetesses, that got up and spoke God's word in the New Testament. How stupid was that? Amen? They dishonored her. And what did they get for their trouble? Nothing. But those who have listened to her teaching, what do they get? They get blessed. Come on now. Don't take two brains to work this out. Because they're honoring the one that sent her. Jesus explained to his disciples that it's important that those who honor people because Jesus sent them are honoring Jesus, it's a show of honor to the sender. Amen? And you're going to get spiritual blessings from that. Hallelujah. Because it is all linked in. If a prophet is serving God, the sender is God. So therefore, you're honoring the sender, not just the prophet. You're not worshiping the prophet. You're honoring him by honoring, and in doing so, you're honoring God. Do you understand this? Amen? There's more that we can go on. But then also, in this verse, check this out. Are we getting somewhere? I really want us to get this. I wanted to get this message in before the new year, because if we can get this, next year, man, it's going to be a year of harvest. There's going to be a year of blessing. You have to be prepared and able to handle the harvest in your life. Because otherwise, you're going to get too much. You can't hold it. You can't handle it. It's going to rot. You're going to be messed up. Come on now. There's no point being messed up, missing your slot, missing your moment, missing your blessing. Receive your blessing. Walk in your blessing. Understand your blessing. Don't lose your blessing. Can someone say amen? It goes on in 10:41, and it uses, when it says receive, it's the Greek word dekomai, and it literally means to take a hold of something with the hand or lay hold of any person or anything in order to use it. And check this out, it's not passive. So when you receive something in through Scripture, it's not passive. It's not like you're just there receiving it. You're taking a hold of it. You're getting it. You're gripping it. You're grabbing it. You're pulling it. You're taking it. Come on now. A starving man who suddenly finds himself receiving a banquet, don't just sit down and wait for the food to jump in his mouth. A drowning man that's in the sea and a lifeboat comes along, don't just lay there when the man has got his hand out trying to pull him into the boat. You receive it, you grab a hold of it. You get that food when you're a starving man and you stuff it into your face. As many of you are going to find out over the next couple of weeks, you ain't going to sit there passively on Christmas Day eating food. Although afterwards, when you weigh yourself, you will try and convince yourself that you did. That evil food. But you have to receive it, man. That means you honor it. You go to India, they honor the man of God. They honor the gift. If someone says, you go to Africa, Reinhard Bonnke or one of these great evangelists gets up and says, the word of God says this, and if you receive it, this is going to happen, and people receive it because they honor the messenger, they honor the message, and they receive the blessing. Boom, job done. You come over here and everyone's like, oh yeah, I got my opinion, I think this, I think that, it should be like this, it should be like that. In fact, I should be the one doing it, and you should be the one listening to me. You need to earn my respect. Don't you know that I'm educated? Don't you know I've got a degree? Don't you know that I've been schooled? I ain't going to sucker for you. I ain't no sucker. I'm not just going to listen to you. Who are you anyway? Ain't you the carpenter's son? Ain't you got a past? Ain't you got a history? Don't you go to the toilet? We miss the blessing, man. Honoring is spiritual. When you honor godly, spiritual, gifted leaders, you're honoring God who has sent them, and you get blessed when you do. Plain and simple, Bible tells it. Third thing that we need to honor is family. Family, you need to honor family. The Bible's very clear. You need to honor your family. First of all, parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you. This is the promise. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Can't think of two better promises, can you? It will be well with you and you will live long on the earth. Amen. Honor your parents. Very, very clear. Give them weight. Give them value. Listen to what they say. Honor them for bringing you into this world. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16 says, cursed is he who dishonors his father or his mother. All the people shall say amen. Amen. Honor your father and your mother. Give them value. Listen to what they say. Then, if you're honoring your mother and your father, and something goes bad with you, you can reject it. Check this out. Let's get deep on this. You can reject it. You can say, that is not my portion. The promise of God is that I honor my mother and my father. I treat them well. I speak about them respectfully. Come on now. Therefore, it cannot go bad with me, and you can't take my life early. I'm going to live my full life. I'm going to live my full span. Devil can't rob you, can't steal from you, can't take it away from you. You're within the bounds of God's promise. But if you dishonor your parents, if you speak bad about them, if you gossip about them, if you slander them, you ain't standing on that solid ground. In the commandments, it says it's the first commandment with a promise. In the commandments, God put the Ten Commandments in the order of importance, right? Now, murder is serious. That's number 6. Adultery is serious. That's number 7. Dishonoring your mother and father is number 5. So therefore, what God is saying is that he puts dishonoring your mother and father as more important than murder or adultery. It's more important to honor your mother or your father than to commit. Are you with me? How deep is that? Are you following me? Come on now. Are we in the right place? Are you listening? I'm trying to feed you with something. I'm not trying to package a nice happy-go-lucky message. I want us to catch this, move on it, and your life is going to change, right? Therefore, honoring God is very, very, very important. When you honor your parents, it is very important to God. You can see it. Genesis chapter 49, you find that Reuben, one of the sons of Jacob, he was the firstborn. He wasn't honored by his father and blessed by his father in the same way as his brothers, even though he was the firstborn. And the reason why, read it, Genesis chapter 49, the reason why Reuben wasn't blessed in the way that he should have been blessed is because he dishonored his father. His brothers committed murder. They got a bigger blessing than he did. This is a heavy, deep thing, man. We see it today. We see people dishonoring their parents, dishonoring their mom, dishonoring their father. Amen. It's very, very deep. We need to get this right. Then you have to honor your spouse. First of all, husbands. This is what you need to do. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayer may not be hindered. Come on. If you don't honor your wife, husbands, you can pray all you like. God ain't listening. If you dishonor your wife, you might as well give up praying. Hello. If you do not give your wife value, you might as well just give up. Don't expect nothing. In the previous verse, in verse 6 of Peter, he says to the women that when it comes to marriage, they're prone towards fear. And you have to understand that women have fears about marriage. And these fears are legitimate, right? Why? Because the woman trusts the man with her life as her covering to provide for her, to protect her, to take care of her. Not to beat her, bash her, talk down to her, treat her like a nothing, put her on the floor, keep her in a closet, keep her back, stop her from fulfilling her dreams and doing all that type of stuff. Very important that husbands honor their wives. Amen. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. Amen. Husbands, are you selfish or selfless? Do you give yourself all of your money that you bring home, or do you give your wife money? Do you take care of her first, or do you take care of yourself first? What is your priority? Because if you're doing it wrong, you ain't going to get blessed. God's not going to listen to your prayer. He's going to go hard with you. You're to be a one-woman man. Come on now. What does that mean? It means that you're not flirty. You don't flirt with all the girls. You know what flirtation is? Flirtation is making a promise that you are never, ever, ever going to come good with. That's what flirting is. When you flirt with someone, you're giving them a promise of something that you're never ever going to come up with. Are you with me? You promise to be with them. You're never going to do that. You promise to love them. You're never going to do that. You promise to give them attention. You're never going to do that. That's flirtation. It's wrong. Husbands, don't be a flirt. Husbands, do not be every woman's friend. You know, there are some men and their husbands that all the women just flock to them all the time. You see them ministering to women all the time. No men, just women. You see them sitting down chatting to women all the time. No men, just women. Don't do that if you're a husband, man. Serious. Because you're not honoring your wife. Don't be the download porn guy. You're not honoring your wife, man. You're committing adultery with another woman. Hello. Don't do that. Don't be the wandering eye guy. It's all right to look at someone when they're facing you. Come on now. That's God's blessing if they're good. If they look good, that's God's blessing. Listen, we have a beautiful church. Are you with me? We have beautiful people in our church. Women, you are beautiful. You know what? I think you're beautiful. You know, you walk up to me, I will look at you and I will think you are beautiful. You walk past me, I ain't looking at you again. First one's free, second one's a curse. Come on now. First look is free, the second one's going to cost you. Right? Don't look twice. Don't be the looky-looky guy. Are you with me? Husbands, love your wives. I'm getting all teachy over here, man. If you don't honor your wife, you're not honoring marriage. Husbands, God's not going to listen to you. Now, wives, husbands, breathe a big sigh of relief right now. Woo, hallelujah. It's getting hot in here. See where you go? See where you go? I sang it's getting hot in here. Because it is. The rest of you, you go where your mind leads you, man. Come on now. You don't blame me for that one. Ephesians 5:33. So I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect or honor her husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 3. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Hallelujah. Wives, you've got to honor your husband. You know how you do that? Don't belittle him. Don't pull him down. Don't speak bad of him. Don't tell all your friends what he does or he doesn't do when he's at home. Oh, yeah, my husband, he's a lunch out. All he does, yeah, he just comes in. He don't do nothing around the house. He don't provide for me. He don't love me enough. He don't do this. He don't do that. What are you doing? You're dishonoring your husband. Okay? What's that going to be like? That's like taking a stick and poking a hole in the roof of your house. Right? When it rains, who's going to cover you? Come on now. No wonder you get wet and everything gets ruined. You're pulling down your own house. Wise woman builds her house. Stupid woman pulls it down with her own hands. She talks bad about her husband. She pulls him down. She rips him up. She messes him up. Why? What's that doing, man? That's dishonoring him. Amen. Then our children. We have to honor our children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. If you tell your kid that he's bad, guess how he's going to grow up? If you tell your kid that he's stupid, guess what he's going to think when he grows up? If you tell your daughter she's fat and ugly, guess what she's going to grow up with? Come on now. If you start pulling them down and messing them up all the time, then you are not going to be blessed by them when they grow up. They're going to get to teenagers, 13, 16. They're going to want to cut out. They're going to want to turn around. They're going to want to knock you out one day. But when you honor them, when you affirm them, when you use discipline, but you instruct them in the right way, when you train them up in the way they should go, when you honor them and you give them value, when you listen to them. How many of you have shut your kids up before you've even listened to them? Then you wonder why they kick off, man. But what they say might be legitimate. Come on now. They might be expressing a real need. And if you just take the time to listen to them, then you might be able to avert all manner of different problems later on down the line. Now, there are many, many questions now. I don't know if we're going to have enough time for this. What happens if you've got an abusive husband or an abusive child? What happens if you've got a leader that has been dishonorable, that has fallen in sin or slept with someone? How do you honor them? Let me tell you what you don't do. You don't dishonor them. Right? You've got an abusive parent. You don't dishonor them. What does that mean? You don't go around telling all and sundry about everything bad that they've ever done. If you've got a husband that has abused you, you don't go around telling all and sundry that he's useless, he's a liar. He might well be, but you don't go around doing all that stuff. Right? You don't dishonor them. What you do is you give that to God and you get out of there as quick as you can. Leave it to God. But get out. Don't stay in an abusive marriage. Don't stay in an abusive house. You give room for God to come in and do what God can do, because what is God's heart? God's heart is restoration. It might be that one day that person that you know, that weren't no good for you in the beginning, one day they might get saved, they might come back round, they might get changed, and they might want to come back in your life, but you've smashed it to bits. Why? Because you've pulled them down, you've mugged them off, and now everyone knows that they're useless and they're an idiot. You've set up a big old trap for yourself in the future. Leave it to God. Give it to God. Get out of there, man. Separate. Are you with me? If you've got a kid that is dishonorable to you, kick them out. Hello? You've got a teenager who's 17 years old, is being abusive to your wife, is messing around in the house, is bringing drugs in and madness in, kick them out! If necessary. What you're doing is, you're making room for God. What you don't do is, spread it around how bad they are, because how hard is it to come back from that? Are you with me? Don't dishonor them. Honor them. Speak well about them, even if they don't deserve it, because one day they might be restored. Amen? And then you're going to have to eat your words. Does that make sense? That was in 2 minutes, man, trying to put, you know, a 15-segment teaching session together about abusive husbands and wives and children and all that. Honor is very important. We don't need to dishonor them. They've already done that to themselves. You don't need to condemn them. They're already condemned. When we was in Oddsall, when we first moved up here, we had all these kids coming against us. You've heard the story. Throwing big bricks, throwing petrol bombs. I wanted to go around, grab their parents and shake them by the neck and say, what are you doing allowing your kids to do this? You know, the parents were probably in there watching EastEnders, eating their dinner while their kids were out robbing, breaking into cars, smashing people up, mugging old people. What is all that? If I found out my kid was doing that, I'm going to drag them in. I'm going to deal with them. Right? The parents that don't, bad parents, man. But a lot of them, they're not even bad. They're just absent. They're ignorant. They just don't care. They don't know. They don't take interest. They never had. And by the time that it's too late, it's too late. And I started praying, God, deal with them, take them out, smash them up. God said to me, why do you condemn them? They're already condemned. They've already done it themselves. Do something else. Bring honor where there is dishonor. Speak against that curse. Do you understand me? And then what you're doing is you're releasing them, you're releasing yourself, and you're giving room for God to come and be God in that person's life. Too often we try and be the Holy Spirit. We try and change them. We try and change their husband. We try and change our wife. You can't do that. Pray. Let God do it. Amen. And if there's abuse, get out of there, man. Don't stay. Get out. Give room for God to move. Does that make sense? The last two now that we honor, authorities, government officials, police, teachers, bosses are to be treated with honor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. God uses these roles in society, and we are blessed when we stay within the rules. Listen, I've been a criminal. I've lived on the other side of the fence. I've been in the dark side of the force. I've done all of that stuff. I've lived as an antisocial person. I've been a thief. I've been a robber. I've been a violent man. I've been a drug dealer and a drug taker. I've done that. I did it for years and years. I was always looking over my shoulder. I never had a recourse. If someone battered me or if someone tried to stab me many times, someone's pulled guns on me, what am I going to do? Go and tell the police? They're my enemy anyway. You have to deal with it yourself on the streets there and then. And it is harsh. It is cruel. And there's no recourse. It's kill or be killed. It ain't no good. You're always wondering, am I going to go to jail? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Because you're living a life of dishonor. But let me tell you this. I've known people that have honored a policeman when they've been arrested for something and got let off. And another person that got arrested for the same thing that dishonored the policeman and got 6 months. Don't take two brains to work out that honoring the people that God has placed in positions of authority is going to bring a blessing with it. And dishonoring them is going to bring a curse. Hello. Romans chapter 13 verse 1 says this. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. This is the Bible. Like it or lump it. This is the Bible. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Steal, you'll be punished. Amen. Rob, you'll be punished. Break the speed limit. What are you going to say? The wind was pushing me. You can't say nothing, man. You really can't. Amen? So we need to honor the authorities. We might not like it, but you have to honor it. If you do, you ain't going to get in trouble. Does that make sense? And I'm someone that's lived on both sides of the law. Right? And I'll tell you, it's easier living on the right side of the law than it is on the wrong side of the law. Much easier. I sleep well in my bed at night. I ain't got to worry about some lunatic kicking me door in and stabbing me to death or shooting me in the head. I ain't got to worry about 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? I remember for years, at 5 o'clock, I would wake up every morning and get dressed. Why? In case the door, the front door got kicked in, so I could hop out the back window. What sort of life is that? Are you with me? I know people that walk about in bulletproof vests, driving their car in vests and stuff like that. What is the good in that? Madness. But now, I live within the law, hallelujah. I nod to the police. I'm driving, and sometimes I overtake police cars. Sometimes they drive really slow. And it's 50, they're doing 40. I'm not sticking behind you. I'm driving past you. I'm within the law, I've got nothing to hide, I've got nothing in my car, I've got no warrants out for me, hallelujah. I'm within the law, bless me. Amen? It's good. Teachers, bless the teachers. As a parent, I bless my child's teachers. If the teachers in my kid's school, they have a go at my kids, I'm going to trust that they've got a reason to do it. If my kids run into me and that teacher had a go at me, I'll say, what did you do wrong? If you did something wrong, then you go back there and you take what's coming to you. Why? Because I want them to grow up understanding what's what. I don't want them to grow up the way I grew up and waste all of those years living on the wrong side of the law. God has instituted it. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right and they will honor you. Now I go to a policeman. I've got friends that are police officers, inspectors. I've had breakfast with a chief constable. Come on now. I can say hello. I can phone them up. Inspector so-and-so. I've given my testimony in the middle of a police headquarters. Surrounded by chief inspectors and sergeants, detectives and superintendents. And I'm telling them I used to be an armed robber. And you never caught me. And they're like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Off you go. Wonderful. They honor you, man. If someone breaks into my house, and I catch them, it's a different story, but if someone breaks into my house, God forbid, I can phone up the police, And I can expect them to come round and do something about it. When I was on the other side of the law, I would have phoned up the police. They'd laugh at me. They'd say, you deserve it. They'd wait 3 months. They'd come round and then they'd look in my house for something that shouldn't be there. And I'd end up getting nicked for someone burgling my house. You know what I'm talking about. Someone would crash into my car and I'd get arrested. But now it's different. You understand what I'm saying? Honor. The authority is a God's servant, sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid. They have the power to punish you. They're God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. The only time we're ever to disobey government is if they go against God's will or God's word and they try and get you to do the opposite. That's the only time you step up and you say, I can't listen to you, I have to listen to God. That's when I rebel. The policeman comes in here and says, stop preaching, I'll say, get out. Amen? Hallelujah. Honor. Honor. I've tried to get in about 5 studies. Because I've wanted all year to get this in, and I haven't been able to get it in about honor. Listen, we honor God. We honor His word. You get healed. You get saved. You get delivered. You get provided for. You get everything that God says that you will get. You honor me. You honor my wife. You're not worshiping us. But guess what? That raises us up. That puts wind beneath our wings. That makes our job easier. That makes you blessed. You honor someone that comes in that has a gift of prophecy, listen to what they say. You might get an inclination of what God wants for you. You have someone that God uses in a gift of healing, honor them for their gift, and you might get healed. You have someone in government that you might honor, and you might get blessed. Come on now, you honor your wife, happy life, hallelujah. You honor your husband, and guess what? It might be that you have a strong covering over your life, and there is security in your life, not fear. You honor your kids, and it might be that when they grow up, one day they might become a footballer, they might get rich, they might become a banker, they might do this, they might do that, they might pay for your retirement, hallelujah. You don't know, one day they're going to grow up, honor you with grandkids. You don't know, they might come and look after you if you're infirm or old. You know that when you honor something, you will get blessed by that which you honor. And if you don't honor it, then don't expect nothing. Close your eyes. Woo. Other people, the Bible says to honor is the aged, the old people. Honor them. They've done what you've never done. They've been where you've never been, and they've survived. They've got a lot of wisdom, man. They might dribble and have no teeth, some of them, but how many of you know they've got a lot of wisdom? Hallelujah. Widows. We're to honor widows, people that have been faithful unto death with their commitments. And then the Bible says we're to honor everyone else. Find something in someone to honor. Lift them up, give them value, and then you will find yourself being blessed by God for that some way, somehow, somewhere, generally exactly when you need it. Father, in this place, I know that there are people that need to catch this principle. They need to honor. My God, there might be people in here that have spoken bad about their parents. Maybe their dad left them or was abusive. Maybe their mum didn't give them what it was that they thought that they deserved. Father, I pray that that would be reconciled. Lord God, that in their hearts they would honor. Lord, there would be repentance where there is repentance that is needed. That every word that we've spoken, my God, that is being recorded in the books in heaven, that, Lord, that as we repent and confess and ask for your forgiveness, that that would be washed away by the blood of Jesus, and that we would be given a clean slate and a clean start. My God, where women have spoken bad against men, my God, when the men has broke their heart or let them down or done this and they've aired that washing to all and sundry, my God, I pray that there would be a calling back of those words through repentance and a washing away. Father, where there have been men that have dishonored women in the way that they've lived or the way that they've pushed the woman down or abused them in some way, my God, then, Lord, I pray that there would be a cleansing and a repentance and a washing. Father, I pray that you would cleanse us from the past. Lord God, where there has been a sneering and a mockery against spiritual leadership, where there has been a dishonoring, my God, with words, in attitudes of the heart, in not receiving that which comes from you, my God, I pray that there would be a repentance and that there would be a washing clean. Father, where we have not honored the authorities, my God, in our lifestyles, in the way that we've spoken about the people that are in power, about the government, about the people of officialdom, oh God. Lord, I pray there will be a repentance and a turning around and a turning away, that there will be a washing clean. Because, my God, I pray that in this next season that we come into, that we would learn to honor everyone that is worthy of honor and respect, that we would give weight, that we would give respect and that we would give value to everyone who crosses our path in some way, shape, or form. In doing so, my God, I pray that there will be an uncapping of blessing. Lord, that we would not talk ourselves into unbelief, but Lord, that we would speak your word in truth and in faith, that we would release, uncap, unlock, blessing that you want for us to have. Pray for people in here that are going to be blessed in their workplace, oh God. They've spoke bad about their boss. I pray that a spirit of repentance will come upon them. And then in honoring them, you are going to use that some way to bless that person, to give them the role that you want them to have. Pray, God, in marriage that there will be a blessing and an honoring that comes upon husbands and wives. I pray that in families there will be a blessing and a reconciliation that comes between fathers and mothers and sons and daughters, so that that blessing of good life and long life would come upon everyone. Father, even absent fathers, even abusive fathers, my God, I pray that even though they have dishonored themselves, we leave that to you. We speak blessing upon them. Over everyone that has wronged us, oh God, we release them, forgive them, and we pray your blessing upon them. And Lord, release from this day forward your blessing in our lives. Give us the reward of obeying your word and honoring those that you have sent. We take a hold of that blessing right now by our action, by our word, and by our response. And we look forward to receiving everything you want to give us from this day onwards, in the name of Jesus.